Morning all. There's all these little funny pictures at the bottom of the screen. Gary, what are all the pictures? Anyway, morning all, and welcome to this morning service. I'm sure we've all heard the saying, God works in mysterious ways. Now, no more so was it last Sunday. We sang the song, Battle Belongs, by Phil Wickman. I don't know if you all recall that. Now, I know Phil Wickman normally plays quite lively music, although Stephen did a great rendition on the keyboard. I wanted to go listen to it at home. So I knew for a fact I was going to forget the song name and the artist. So I went to the back, searching, couldn't find a piece of paper, grabbed the first piece of paper, just turned around and wrote on it. Got home, played the song, and then I don't know why our friend that was visiting us last weekend, she turned the paper around, and lo and behold, I was preaching today. Normally Julie sends it out an email to say, you know, are you right to preach for the Sunday? But somehow I think it just slipped her mind or her memory, which sort of brings me to tonight's sermon, but we'll get to that in a bit. I'll never forget when I first bought my very first computer, I was very impressed. It had a 200 megabyte hard drive. It's like, wow. Bought it for university purposes, and then as I started going to university, it quickly filled up. So I had to buy a new one. So I got a 6 gig. Can you believe that size? Who of you remember the old floppy disks, stiffy disks, and then the CD? Even at the peak of the CD could only hold 700 megabytes. Today we don't talk in megabytes, we talk in gigs and terabytes. And even this fills up quite quickly if we look at computers, and then we have to start deleting things. And the same happens within our lives. We sometimes feel that we forget things. Have you ever wondered how big the human brain is? Now, obviously scientists have made many experiments. Is it in gigabytes? Is it in terabytes? But the scientists actually believe we cannot determine the size of the brain. It's just one of those phenomenal things of God. So don't worry, you won't run out of memory just yet in your own lives. Although some memory might get harder to access as the software doesn't quite upgrade with the memories. True, probably. But let's not get bored and tagged down in what scientists think and, you know, how big the brain is. But apparently they reckon it's about 2.5 petabyte. Now, I do, that's like 10 to the power 8 or 100. It's massive. And to put it into perspective, if we had to store everything within our brain, we would be able to store 3 million hours of movies. We would have to live for 300 years before we had to delete something. Now, Mackenzie watched the video the other day on BBC Bite Sizes, and they said the human body isn't designed to live forever. Our blood will just stop working. All our organs will just... So our body will stop before our brain ever stops. So why do we get the feeling then that sometimes our memory is full? We don't get around to everything. Well, our memory can't get full. So when you feel that your memory is getting full, there's two factors that are playing a major role in you feeling that way. The first factor is rest. And the second factor is focus. Rest. In today's society, where switching off is becoming more and more difficult, we are connected 24 hours a day. Mobile phones, the internet, all the different platforms people choose to communicate on these days. Sometimes we just need to switch off. You know, unplug ourselves from the matrix. That's probably the only thing I ever took from that movie, is getting unplugged in the end. But it also says we need to sleep more. Now, before we all get too excited thinking we're just going to sleep all the time, that's unfortunately also not the answer. And then the second point is focus. For Christmas, we bought Mackenzie a telescope, and we thought it was pretty much just a factor of you put the telescope there, you point it, and suddenly you see everything. No, you have to take the time, line things up, put things into focus. And we get that feeling when things get too much in our own lives. We lose focus. Like we preached a few Sundays ago with the children's service, where we had the jar with the golf balls and the sand and the stones. If we allow all the small things to consume our lives, it means we don't have time or space for the big things in our lives, i.e. God and our families. Which leads me to tonight's scripture, which is Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children." Bear in mind, we're all God's children. "Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chose to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, even though that was out of the NIV, I read the Message Bible verses. And I'd like to share this one with you because I think it sort of really puts it into focus. Abruptly, Jesus spoke into prayer. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from the sophisticated and the know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that is the way you like to work." Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me these things to say to you. This is a unique Father-Son operation. Come unto the Father and the Son intimate knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep in company with me, and you will learn a life freely and lightly." Now, isn't it amazing that God, in the very first few verses of that, says his knowledge, his grace, it's not kept away from the intellectuals, the know-it-alls. Jesus came and spoke to us, each one of us, and he wants to share that grace with all of us. I mean, if we think about the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus wasn't born in a palace protected by guards. He was, in fact, born in a humble stable where the common person, a shepherd, could come and experience him. God shares this wonderful grace and love with us all, for those who need it and those who just can't keep going on their own steam. All you need to do is take that initial step to Jesus our Savior, as he has already done it for us. This is true and the only way to experience rest and focus. Gary, if you could put that slide up I've just requested, please. Oh, I can't get this off. the chorus bit, please, Gary. Like we sang this morning, "Boldly I approach your throne, blameless now, I'm running home. By your blood I come, welcomed as your own, into the arms of majesty." But what will happen if we take that first step? Well, we will receive rest. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So when your memory is full and you don't get around to all the things, all the demands that life takes or adhere to, take that step towards Jesus, so that God could provide you with the rest that's so well deserved. A And when you take that first step to experience rest, God will help you to focus. God gives us a must-needed focus for our daily lives. And again, it's like I said earlier, how amazing God speaks. Gary spoke this morning about the old horses that had the blinkers on. God takes those blinkers away. Helps us to focus on the path and the path He's assigned out for our own lives. So can we truly walk with Him? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Interesting that God describes Himself as gentle and humble, as that is exactly how God wants us to be in our own lives. Taking His yoke, we will experience that in our own lives. The things that drive and chase us are put to the side, and we receive inner calm, the focus that leads to serving God and our neighbor. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, Jesus is not saying at all that life will be a breeze after this. No, the world will keep on placing demands on us, trying to distract us from the rest and the focus that God's provided to us. But He promises that He will carry us so that we are capable and responsible, so that the capabilities and responsibilities are on His hands, not on our own hands. Now let's get practical about it. There's no one fix for each one of us. There's one thing that works for somebody is not necessarily going to work for somebody else to achieve these things. But sometimes it's just being quiet. All it takes is 15 minutes where you could just switch off. Just be in God's presence. It might be a case of reading your favorite Bible verse over and over and over again. Or just sat there and listen. Listening to God speak to you and your life. Adeline told me that apparently we've all heard the terminology, the power nap. Now, a power nap is defined by that quick 20-minute sleep that you have. The secret behind it, apparently, is you have to have a cup of coffee before you have a power nap. Now, that sounds quite bizarre when she told me the first time. But apparently, coffee takes 20 minutes to kick into your system. So, let God be your, not your power nap, but your rest and focus nap, so that we may be quiet, we get recharged and experiencing God. Or maybe keeping a journal for yourself, you know. But we must remember, journal is a way that we can be with God and our own thoughts. It is not an exercise in language art. You have to be honest. You have to be as honest as possible when you write. Why? Because as you review those thoughts, those writings in the past, you will truly see how God worked in your life. And it's through these thoughts and through these honest thoughts, you will be able to align your life with the plan God has for you. Philippians 4 verse 4 to 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So be quiet. Present yourself to God. "And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." Finally, brother and sister, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, God, remember, be quiet. Listen to God in your peace and quietness. Put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So in conclusion, take the first step towards God. Let God provide you with the rest and focus your soul needs. I'd like to finish off with Isaiah verse 40, verse 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen.